Psalm 124 is a psalm of David. It's a tremendous psalm that will be sung as Israel one day marches to her temple to worship God. It's a psalm that answers the question, what would life be like if God were not on our side? The greatest deliverance that has occurred in any of our lives is our deliverance from sin and condemnation, the moment we came to faith in Christ. Yet if you listen to most people talk about this, many take responsibility for the choice they made. Very few people give all of the credit and glory to God, and he was the actual one who chose us and saved us, and had not God chosen to save us, we'd be lost as most of the rest of the world. Our problem is we want to take credit for it, not give credit to God, whom it is really due. But this Psalm of David really puts the emphasis where it should really be put, on the Lord. I'll think for a moment what things would happen to us if the Lord had abandoned us. If God were to abandon us for one day, we'd be totally and completely destroyed. If God took his protective grace off of us, the enemy would demolish us. Not only do we need to think about this, but this psalm is designed to get Israel to think about that. As verse 1 says, it's about time that Israel started thinking in these terms. David had faced many deadly and dangerous situations, and so had Israel. If you think about this from the history of Israel, Israel was the most hated nation ever to exist. The most powerful nations and powers in the world hated Israel. Even to this day, there are many nations who hate Israel. And one question to ask is, how is it that Israel has survived? When all is said and done, she will have survived history. Prophecy says she will survive even into the future. The answer is because God is on Israel's side. And what this psalm teaches is this: God's people need to continually praise God for his sovereign salvation and protection. For if God were not on our side, we'd be totally and completely destroyed. When all is said and done, whether it is us or Israel, the reason we survive is because God is on our side. Our very existence is proof of the existence, the presence, power, and protection of God. And so he repeats this in the first and second verse, and then 2 and 3 puts this in a time context, specifically when men rose up against us and when their anger was burning against us. So had not God been on Israel's side when those powers rose up against Israel, she would not even be in existence, and neither would we. Now, the implication is there will be times in the life of a believer when various people will be against us and angry with us simply because we are in the right relationship with God. This anger will blaze in a hatred that is out to destroy the property of God. Charles Spurgeon said, anger is never more fiery than when God's people are its subject. In Israel's case, there were powers that literally tried to physically destroy her. Major powers of the world have tried to exterminate her. There are still powers of the world who would like to destroy Israel. Many Arab nations and Iran have made it very clear that they would love to destroy Israel. When it comes to us, it's not so much that powers want to physically destroy us or to exterminate us, but spiritually speaking, they do want to destroy us. The question the psalm answers is what it would be like if God, for one minute, would have lifted his protection. What would it be like if God were not on our side? The hypothetical deductions if God were not on our side. Look at the first five verses of Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Having these things, we see if God were not on our side, our enemies would destroy us. The phrase swallowed us alive is a metaphorical picture used in Scripture to describe sudden and complete destruction and instant death. The language here describes a wild animal devouring its prey. Had not God been looking out for Israel, this would have been what would have happened to her. She would have been totally torn apart and destroyed. And the same is true for us. We need to clearly understand this point. If the enemies of God's people had a chance, they would kill us. It's God who prevents them from doing that. If Satan would have his way, he would have killed you before God saved you. Charles Spurgeon said, "Make no mistake about it, our salvation cannot be attributed to any secondary cause. God did it all, and we need to praise him for it. And if God were not on our side, our enemies would drown us." The description here is of violent water, totally engulfing and surrounding the people of God with the goal of destroying them. It's interesting in verse 4 that the image is of a stream. Verse 5 says the enemies were raging. You don't expect a stream to become a violent flood that destroys you. But the emphasis is on the soul. The fact is, Satan and his forces cannot touch a believer's soul. If they could, they would. But the soul of a believer is protected by God. And then we see the actual reality since God has been on our side. Verses 6 through 8. "Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our hope is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Verse 6 begins, "Blessed be the Lord." God is to be praised and worshiped because he is the one who has protected his people. And since God has been on our side, our enemies have been prevented from tearing us. You may be certain that if God were not protecting us, our enemies would use their teeth to devour us and rip us to shreds. We cannot help but think of Daniel in the lion's den. On our job in the church, in our relationships, you have an enemy who would end it all if he could, but he cannot. God will not let him. And since God has been on our side, our enemies have been prevented from trapping us. Make no mistake about that. Our enemies are out to catch us and to trap us with something we do or say. Our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it is God who prevents them from succeeding. This is the point that most believers miss. They do not escape traps relying upon themselves, but God. There are all kinds of traps trying to ensnare a believer. Many different baits trying to ensnare us. Worldliness and greed and lust and unbelief and doubt and idolatry and immorality. These are not imaginary dangers. They are very real dangers. And who is it that's kept us from plunging headlong into these traps? It's God. We can trust him. Truth is, we're all sinners, and our enemies, if given opportunity, would trap us and ensnare us. But God does not give them an opportunity. Jesus Christ bought us to set us free. He opened the doors to the cage in which we are trapped. We need to get out of there, go free. Look carefully at verse 8. "Our help has been the name of the Lord." Do you see this? Do you understand this? Our salvation is in his name. He can be trusted. God who made the heaven and the earth is the sovereign God who's looking out for his people. This is God who is the great creator in our, is our helper. John Calvin used Psalm 124:8 to begin many of his services because he said the truth of his verse declared to a congregation the truth as well as any one sentence could. We will have enemies get angry with us and hate us simply because we are right with God. And if God were not protecting us, we would have been totally and completely destroyed. We need to praise God for his salvation and for his protection.